bless and worship the name of the Lord. My name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And I titled my message this morning, Contending for Healing. Contending for Healing. Contending for Healing. And I just want to jump right in and read Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, and whom they had used to set down every day, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter and John fixed his gaze on them and said, "Look at us. Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Somebody said, "You wonder how I could get excited?" And the guy said, "You know, and I wonder how you can't." You know, this guy went walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we consider your word today. Lord, help us. Give us ears to hear. Lord, I believe you're rising, Lord, in this hour, this day, with healing in your wings, that as we worship, as we stand in awe, as we pay respect, as we walk humbly before you, Lord, that you have something to release. Lord, that you would release us from our stalls. You would release us from places of confinement. You would release us from hindering, restrictive circumstances. Lord, you would release us from that which is hindered, from that which has held us back. And Lord, you have called us to go forth out of our stalls like calves released in the spring, leaping and walking and jumping and praising God. Lord, that you have joy. You have a jubilee. You have a moment, Lord, of release, a moment of blessing, a moment of abundance, a moment, Lord, of transformation that will cause us to be filled, Lord, with a sense of joy and appreciation and gladness, Lord, at your intervention in our lives. Lord, even today, Lord, as we contend for healing, healing. Now, what's interesting is this created a great controversy. And the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. And the priests and the Pharisees and the religious people got hot under the collar. Their underwear got in a knot over this. And they arrested Peter and John, and they brought them into court, and they wanted to try to stop what was happening, stop the preaching, stop them speaking the name of Jesus, teaching the name of Jesus, using the name of Jesus. Now think about that. And they were arrested and threatened to speak no more. And then if you read here, so what my point is, it's from day one, you have to contend for healing. The church has been contending for health. And when I speak of healing, I mean wellness. I love what a mentor that I got mentored by has since gone to heaven. He said, "Get well by all means possible. Get well by all means possible. Get healthy. Get right. Get happy. Get well, get healed by all means possible. Get hands laid on you. Get anointed with oil. Go where there's a moment where the Spirit of God is moving, and get in a prayer line. But also, don't ignore the doctor's instructions. Deal with your nutrition, with your diet. Deal with the need to exercise. Come on, be a good steward. Don't treat your health as if God was some kind of escape mechanism that you could just let everything go to pieces in your life and then go to God and let Him somehow reverse all of your... That's enough said on that one, because that's kind of feeling a little meddling right now. But my point is, get well. Wellness, healing. So they got released from the custody of the religious courts of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and in Acts 4:29 it says they began to pray. And they began, if you study this, if you go back to this text, which I didn't include the whole, you could to their whole prayer, but you could go back, and they actually said, maybe I'll turn there. I didn't have room on these. I commit myself to try to, I can't do more than one page because it just gets crazy to print. But it says here in Acts chapter 3:4, it says this, when they were praying, they linked. Somehow I hesitated to, I almost put this in, and then I didn't. And it says this, it says, whoops, it'd help if I got on the right chapter. It says in this, it links their experience to the treatment of Jesus. And it says this, for truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servants, Jesus, whom you anointed, who walked in power, who healed the sick, who cast out demons, who had authority, who spoke as one who had authority, who went wherever he went, there was a line drawn, and the Pharisees hated him, and the sinners loved him. You know, the sick gathered, and this Jesus, and this is what it says, they gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, and Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, listen to what they say. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. Grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. And while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Look at their prayer. They just had confidence. They just went boldly to Peter, to the beggar, and said, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, healing is ours. We can give you in authority what you need to be whole, be made whole, rise and walk. The same people. I want you to get this. The same guys, the same apostles. This was post-Pentecost. This wasn't, and they had to go and contend again to get in a place where healing would be released, where healing would flow. And it was like an immediate struggle that they experienced right after that man rose and walked. And it says, so he goes, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, with boldness, some translate, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting, where they gathered together, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word with boldness. The place was shaken. And there began, and if you go over, since I have my Bible here, I'll go over to chapter 5, verse 12. It says, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico, but none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number, to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted of unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Now that's contending for healing, right there. Contending for health. And I mean mental health, emotional health, Physical health, spiritual health, wholeness, life, life. We know Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm suggesting to you that if the early church had to fight to maintain health, not only for themselves, but for their city, for the whole city, for the whole region, for the whole vicinity. Steve and Rita were here, and Rita, in the middle of ministering to someone, turned and began to speak and say that God is going to bring healing to this community. God is going to bring healing to this area. And if you see what happened here, you know, I just believe that God wants to release His grace and release His life and release His power. And you know what? You and I have tasted of it. You and I know it's real. You and I have experienced it. You and I have been delivered. You and I have been maybe physically healed at some point in our life. You and I have prayed for people and watched them be healed. You and I have seen the blind eyes open and the deaf ears open. You and I, many of us, maybe there's a couple who haven't, but most of us have known we serve a miracle-working God. And I love that song that says, you know, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. There's no what God can do. It's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Man, I've been reading about Azusa Street in 1905 and just the teenagers that were there and the miracles that took place. I mean, literally blind eyes open and teenagers, little teenagers. But I'm not just speaking about physical healing. I'm speaking about the whole package, health and wellness and life and abundance and prosperity. And listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It's worth fighting for. It's worth contending for. I was blessed by Steve and Rita because I felt like one of the things that was happening was, and it says in Psalm 107 that the Lord sent His word and He healed them. And I felt like healing words were going forth over people's lives. And God was just ministering comfort and healing and encouragement. And God was actually through that prophet who I have no personal relation. I didn't even set up the meeting. Pastor Steve and Gail set up the meeting for them and they needed GPS. I GPS'd it to Pastor Gail. I never talked to prophets before they come. It's just something that I disciplined myself to do. But, you know, I was fascinated to see how the Lord basically was saying to people, you know, I saw that pain. I was there, you know, in effect, by the word of knowledge and the word of just saying, you know, I saw that. I saw that. And you know, you and I can take those words and just contend for healing on them. We can just fight for them, that we would be healed based on those words that came forth. We can just stand on those prophecies. I want you to, I'll read a scripture here, Jude verse 3, it says, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you would contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints, that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all handed down for the saints, that you contend earnestly, that you, trying to think how it writes it in other scripture, other translations. But you know, you and I are in a battle for faith, to believe, to stand and to receive personally, and then be able to give out freely. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Healing. See, the gospel, when you read that, that you contend for the faith that was once delivered, some people think of conservative values. And there are some aspects of conservative values that are biblical values. Some maybe not so much so. But, or family values, or a statement of faith, a doctrinal statement of faith, you know, that we believe in the Word of God, that it's the inerrant Word of God. We believe in a literal heaven, a literal hell. We believe in Jesus, the Son of God. We believe. But faith is Jesus, when you read what Jesus did, he taught and then he ministered. He taught and then he ministered, so that we're not just believing for a set of ideals or a set of theological statements or a set of beliefs that we hold to, even though there's very little connection between those beliefs and our daily experience and our daily life. That's not what Jesus wants us to contend for. Listen to what, I gave you some scriptures, and I need to keep track of the time because we do want to be able to get to Schoharie. Well, I want to talk a little bit before I move on, contending. I was thinking about people in the Bible that contended for faith. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. And she said she pressed through. She spent everything she had on doctors. She had tried to get well. She used all means possible. She wasn't getting well. And then she heard about Jesus. And somehow faith happened to rise up within her spirit. And she began to just press in through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. Familiar with that one, aren't we? Think about blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting there and he hears Jesus is going by. And again, he must have ran into people. People must have been telling him about how they got healed and about how if he could just get touched by Jesus. And he's sitting there and they said, and there's a commotion and he's going, what's going on? He's blind. And he hears it, but he can't see it. And they said, well, Jesus is passing by. And he starts crying out and they start trying to quiet him down, but his response was to get louder. And Jesus stops and turns and goes towards him, and he gets healed. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, the Gentile woman with the child, and she's standing in the gap and interceding. And she comes to Jesus, and the disciples meet her. And she says, I'm here to get my daughter healed, my daughter delivered. And Jesus said, my priority, my heart, my passion, my focus is the Jewish people right now. I've sent first to the Jews. No, this is for the Jews first. And we know the story. And she said, yeah, but Lord, even the dogs that lay under the table get to eat the crumbs that the children drop. Jesus says, woman, your faith is great. Your daughter's healed. Think about that. Contending. Contending. And Jesus comes up to the man sitting by the pool and he says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And I would ask and add, how badly do you want to be well? How badly? Sometimes we don't want to get well all that bad. Across the street from the church where I got born again, and there was a lady who was struggling mentally, and as a result had to be institutionalized in a mental institution and had kids and a husband, and my pastor was ministering to her, go down, drive 3-4 hours to go visit her in the psychiatric ward, wherever it was. I think it was Binghamton. And finally, after a couple months in there, she got well enough to come home. And I don't know, somehow pastor had to go help bring her home. And as they were bringing her home, he said, well, now that you're well, now you can start, you know, you can start cooking for the kids again and doing laundry. And lady came home, and 24 hours later, she called the pastor and said, I'm bad again. You got to take me back. My pastor was telling me this because in privately as I was just helping him and he was discipling me, said the lady, when it came to the idea of doing the housework and being a functional person around the house, she preferred to be in, to be bad in the, and incapable of doing that. It's amazing. There are always examples of people that are in the hospital and they love the hospital. They love the attention. They love the people come and see them and things happen. And you know, that's really sick, I guess you would say. And God wants us well. God wants us well. And as I was preparing to preach this morning, I was, psychologists say this. They say that in every generation, there's unique psychoses. There's unique, and I haven't read up, I haven't done any research or study on it, but you know, back in the 80s is when you first started to see anorexia and bulimia as a very, almost an epidemic thing in young women. And that was not something necessarily that was big, for example, in the 40s. And there's sometimes there's unique, if I could say it this way, runs of attacks mentally, as well as there's physical plagues or whatever that, you know, that's contagious things that start spreading. I was always fascinated on the farm. The vet, we'd call the vet for some unusual thing, and he'd go, "This is the fifth case of this I've had in 5 days or 3 days, and we haven't, I haven't seen it in a year and a half." You know, kind of a thing. It's just like, and different certain, but just somehow conditions and battles, and I don't know that, I don't even know the statistics on whether we're still battling anorexia and anemia, bulimia, as to the rate that we were 25, 20 years ago, but. I mean, we used to literally in camp have to talk to the counselors, and there were kids that you'd have to, teenage girls that we'd have to be monitoring their food intake per parents' request because, you know, they were in a very serious situation and they needed to be made whole. They needed to be made well. I think in Schoharie County right now, there's PTSD. PTSD is this post-traumatic stress syndrome. Is first it got... First, it got labeled with military people coming back from Iraq. And, of course, it was undiagnosed in Civil War veterans. And, you know, they used to call it shell shock or whatever. But there's literally people that are having a hard time facing the idea of moving back into their home. There are people that are, like, the worst thing that they could imagine is being surrounded by water again. And you know, that my thing is Jesus wants to make those folks whole. Yeah. And Jesus can make them whole. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted," listen to this, "and set at liberty the bruised." And, you know, we got to start believing in the power, as Judah Smith said, we've got to have more faith in the power of the finished work of Christ. And we need to believe. That doesn't negate that a psychologist couldn't help you or a psychiatrist couldn't help you. I'm not saying throw away your, flush your prescriptions down the toilet. Actually, I'm saying just the opposite. We'll pray for you. You take your prescriptions. You go back to the doctor. You let him run tests. And if it's gone, then he'll tell you you can stop taking it. I would never advise someone to just, unless you've got some kind of, you know, thing that's on you that God has put on you, that's between you and God. But you know, listen to what the scripture says. I want to read this to you. Matthew 14:35-36. Listen to this. "When the men of that place recognized him," Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back to the woman with the issue, with that touch the hem of his garment. I want you to get this. That when you break through, it can cause an outbreak of breakthrough. It can break through, can break out. Listen to this. "The woman with the issue of blood, she fought for healing." And listen to what it says. "When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word into all that surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they implored him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were cured." Think about that. That's a scripture that is not often referred to. That this became this woman's healing became a model for other people to be healed. This woman behind, and the woman that fought the hardest for 12 years and paid the steepest price and got this miraculous healing, she plowed the way, she opened the way, and all the people, her testimony and however this happened, but people came to Jesus and said, can we just, please, we just want to touch the hem of your garment. Please, go ahead. I'm going to spank it. Go ahead and eat your dinner. I just want to touch the edge of your garment. Go ahead and keep teaching the disciples. It's all right if I just side up to you and touch, because I know I'll be healed. You know, the mechanism, sometimes the journey that you're on is not just for your own, it's not your own journey to health and wellness. It's not your own journey to healing. It's a journey that is going to pave the way for others. And the fight that you're fighting is not just a fight for your own health, but somehow or other, when you get free, I don't know how many were there. It was I don't know how they heard about it. I don't know how this thing got spread. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have a notebook of how to be healed by touching the hem of his garment. You know, they didn't have any of that. It just happened. But I'll tell you what, you know, we stand here as people, as believers. And when other people see us whole, they can have faith. And they can follow in our tracks. I love what Tommy Tenney, the guy who wrote the book God Chasers, he said, to get what I got, you got to go where I went. To get what I got, you got to go where I went. These people got that. Tommy Tenney wasn't even there to tell them. And people lined up, and they just got healed by touching the hem of his garment. Man, let's fight for health. Matthew 14:23 through 24. Listen to this. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind. What kind? Every kind. Every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Your kind of your challenge, your emotional issue, your pain, your hurt, your shame, your guilt. Every kind. Every kind. We live in an interesting culture. We have had, I think it's 1 out of every 100 kids is diagnosed with autism now. And of course, and I have compassion. I would say take advantage of every single program, benefit, government aid, help you can find for whatever disease you're suffering with, okay? So please let me say that. But it's interesting because doctors have felt that they needed to tweak the diagnosis a little bit because too many people were being diagnosed that were borderline and not really. So then the Autism Society launches a lobbying campaign to prevent that because millions of dollars are at stake. I mean, I don't know how to say that and be blunt. And they start fighting for the status quo of the diagnosis. And I'm like, let's. Of course, they don't know Jesus, and they don't know the power of God, and they don't know all the resources that are out there. And I'm like, that's interesting. Because let's believe for health. Let's believe for healing. Let's believe. it's disturbing to me. I've ran into, and again, this is a sensitive issue, and if it's legitimate, we want to get all the help we can, please. But you know, I'm believing for health. I don't want my kid to be diagnosed as special ed so he can get in a bunch of special money spent on him. I'd rather have him healed and be a genius. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how, and I had a brother who was in special ed growing up. And so, you know, I have compassion. I'm not saying, but I'm this issue of contending, this issue of, are we going to just say that there's certain things that Jesus can't do when Jesus doesn't care about and we just have to cope with? I'd like to suggest to you that I don't care what hurts you, what sets you back, what afflicts you, Jesus can heal it. Amen. The news about him spread, verse 24, through all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Verse 9, chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus was going through all the villages and cities, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Matthew 10:1, Jesus summoned his disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. We have things that were never listed in the Bible. Things that were not known, things that were not discovered, things that mutated and just evolved, things that are new that never dealt with before. But I'm here to tell you that I believe there's healing for every kind, physical kind, emotional kind, mental kind, relational. Your marriage can be healed. Your relationship with your teenagers can be healed. Back when we were doing youth camp, you know, we'd get these calls. There was kids that would come to camp and act like they didn't like it. And we'd kind of manage that. And we had all, doing camp, we had 350 kids come to our camp. And there'd be, you know, why are you here? Well, my mom and dad made me come. Oh, so sorry. You don't really want to be here. You don't, because I really am sorry, because I got to deal with you for a week. And we'd say, I'm really sorry about that, and I'm sorry, and I'll tell you what, I know that you're going to have to be here all week, and some of it you might like, or some of it you might not, or whatever, but you know what, I'm going to help you, and we're committed to helping you have the best week you could possibly have, so if you'll just work with us, we'll work with you, and let's make a deal, let's get through this thing, let's not fight us, you know, So that would be the kind of a kid who would just kind of, you know, participate kind of half-heartedly. And sometimes they would break through in a big-time way, like by Wednesday, Friday night, these kids would be like plastered in God. They'd just be blasted. By other times, they would just kind of never really show a lot of responsiveness, you know, not run to the altar, no tears, no emotional experience or something with God, but I'd get this call at the next week after camp, and they would go like, "What did you do with my kid?" And at first, sometimes it's like, "What do you mean?" I wanted to kill him, but I didn't. They'd say, "This kid came home. He's a totally different kid. He's cleaning up his room, and he's got a different attitude, and he's showing respect, and he's polite." And you know what happened? Healing took place. Somewhere along the way, the kid got cynical and belligerent and obstinate and defiant. And it could have been not anything to do with mom and dad. It could have been things at school. It could have been easily bullying, easily painful interaction with the other opposite sex. It Could be a lot of things, but what you're looking at is a kid whose heart needed healing, and somehow just in the environment. And obviously mom and dad wouldn't send a kid again to his camp against his will if they didn't know something needed to happen. And they were home praying. And camp counselors were praying, and intercessors were praying for healing. You know, I just believe that we're in a moment. We may be in a moment in my lifetime when I haven't, probably I would almost say that there hasn't been a greater need for healing than in it right now. Healing. Healing. Many levels, many kinds, many shapes, many forms. Healing. Healing. Let's stand together. Sometimes Jesus just healed with a word. He just healed with a word. I thought, repeat myself, but I thought Steve and Rita just beautifully healed with a word. I want you, number one, to believe that you can be healed. Believe that Jesus wants you well. That joy and peace and happiness, it's your birthright in God. It's your birthright. It's your birthright. Belief is a big issue. Back to Judah Smith, I fear at times I put more faith in a moment of sin than in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Sometimes our faith isn't in our sin. It's in, you know, we believe that no way could God ever get through to her. Him. Them. You know? No way. Could I ever see myself thriving, prospering, blessed? You need healing. That's a healing of the mind. It's a healing of the perspective. Jesus touched a guy and he said, I see men as trees walking about. And Jesus touched him again. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. I'm not going to try to, you know, call you forward or even though it's tempting because I feel like the Lord is on us, on you right now. He is on you. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth. You shall go forth as calves released from the stall. I believe that is a prophetic word. Malachi 4:2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall, delivered. Delivered. Father, I speak a word of healing. Emotional healing, mental healing, relational healing, physical healing, healing in families, healing in marriages, healing of businesses, healing of dreams, healing of vision, healing of perspective, healing of ideas, healing, healing of self-esteem, healing, healing. Lord Jesus, I speak healing. Lord, depression would go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, fear would go right now in the name of Jesus. Father, bipolar, Lord, I just rebuke bipolar diagnosis, and Lord, there can be healing. Alcoholism, Lord, it's been said once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, but I believe we can be healed and still need to walk in wisdom, but be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. I speak to hurting backs to be healed, hurting joints to be healed, hurting hearts, emotions that have been wounded. A wounded spirit would be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that people that somehow, Father, their life has become, Lord, hard and difficult, and Lord, and hope is gone. I pray for a hope healing in the name of Jesus. And I pray that a word of faith, Lord, you would rise, Son of Righteousness, rise with healing in your wings. And Lord, we would go forth from our stalls, those confining, limiting places, into that freedom that you have purchased by the cross. Lord, as we come to this communion table, it represents your finished work. It's done. It's complete. And we want to access it and activate it and appropriate it and walk in it. Lord, bless this bread as we eat it. Bless the cup as we drink it. Lord, it would be anointed. Lord, and there would be a healing anointing, Lord, that would brood and hover and over this house, over our gatherings, over our fellowship, Lord, over the families, over the homes. Lord, there would be a healing anointing that would flow out of our innermost being, would flow rivers of living water, healing waters would flow, Lord, in our midst in this season of time. We speak healing to Schoharie and Middleburg, Gallupville, surrounding area. Lord, even as we go hop on that flatbed and we ride down through town worshiping, playing music and handing out candy, Lord, there would be a spirit of healing that would be carried into the atmosphere and the community around us. Lord, it would become contagious and people would see a healed people, a happy people, a healthy people. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.